Okay, today we're going to learn Daf Tes Amud Aleph of Maseches Sota. We are holding on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, a few lines, several lines into the page. The Gemara had mentioned on Daf Ches Amud Beis many different limudim that teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moded im ha'adam mida k'neged mida, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes a person, deals with a person, mida k'neged mida, even when it comes to small averos, and even when it comes to just a single avera. So now the Gemara is going to discuss why we need all these different psukim that essentially seem to teach this same basic idea. So, once we already have the pasuk in Koheles that tells us that Kodesh Baruch Hu does something with Mida Kenegan Mida, he takes into the Cheshbon even a single Maisa of a mitzvah and he puts it as part of the Cheshbon Gadol. Why do I need the pasuk in Yeshayahu that tells us that even small averos a person gets paid back for? So says Gemara, you know why we need that pasuk? To tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it treats a person mida k'negen mida, that he punishes him, he pays him back in the similar measure to how he sinned. Meaning the first pasuk just teaches us that nothing escapes the attention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that something small is not going to go unnoticed. But how bad is the punishment going to be? How severe is the punishment going to be? Well, that's got to be in proper measure. So I ask the Gemara further then, okay, but then there's a third pasuk in Yeshayahu Perich of Zayin, which tells us also that there's such a din of mida k'neged mida that a person gets punished in kind or in proper measure. Why do I need a third pasuk? So answers the Gemara, l'chad Rav Chinan bar Papa, d'am Rav Chinan bar Papa, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifra min ha'uma ad shas shilucha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tends to be patient and he only punishes a nation when it's time to wipe that nation off the face of the earth. Shene'emar b'sasa b'shalcha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues the cheshbon and keeps on measuring each avera that that nation does until it's time to do away with that nation entirely. So ask the Gemara, Eini, is that really true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits until it's time to destroy the nation? V'amar Rava shlosha kosos ha'amuros b'mitzrayim lama. Didn't Rava teach us that when the Sarah Mashkim sees in his dream three different kosos, and it's coming to tell us about the kos of Peronos, the suffering that Mitzrayim is going to go through. Why does it mention three kosos? So Rava teaches, Achas Shashas B'mei Moshe, one for the suffering that they were going to have to withstand during the days of Moshe Rabbeinu with the Eser Makos and the Yamsuf and everything we talk about in the Pesach story. V'achas Shashas B'mei Paronecho, and a second kos of Peronos that Mitzrayim has to suffer is when Nebuchadnezzar Netzer Melech Bavel comes to conquer Mitzrayim, to destroy Mitzrayim, and that was another significant national catastrophe for Mitzrayim. Va'achas sha'asidel lishtosim chavroseha, and then there's a third peronos that Mitzrayim is going to suffer in the end of days with the other Umos Ha'olam during the Umos HaMashiach. So you see that that they suffer punishment even before it's time to wipe them off the face of the earth. So how can you tell me that this third pasuk teaches me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits to punish nations until it's time to wipe them off the face of the earth? Rava tells me that the dream of the Sarah Mashkim indicates that Mitzrayim got to suffer three times, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not wait until it was time to wipe them off the face of the earth. V'chite mahanachazdu, and maybe you're going to answer that no, in the days of Moshe, it was already time to wipe out that Mitzrayim as we know it, and they all were wiped out. That's what the Yamsuf was. The future suffering of Mitzrayim, the other two sufferings of Mitzrayim, were not the same Mitzrayim. It was not the same Egyptians. That was an entirely different Egyptian nation that just happened to have settled in the land of Egypt, but it was an entirely different nation. So you're going to try to answer the question that way, but Vatanya, we have a Bryce, it seems to indicate not that way, because Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Min Yamin Ger HaMitzri, Hayili Chaver, Mi Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Min Yamin Ger HaMitzri was a chaver of mine from the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, and Amr Min Yamin Ger HaMitzri, Ani Mitzri Rishon, V'nasasi Mitzris Rishona, Asi Lebni Mitzris Shnia, Kedei She Ben Bni Motolava Bakal. And he would say that he is a first generation Mitzri, meaning he was a Mitzri that was Megayer, and he married a woman who was a first first generation Mitzri. So he wanted his son, who was a second generation Mitzri, meaning second generation removed from being a Mitzri, to marry a woman who was also a second generation convert from Mitzrayim, in order that his grandchild should be able to marry anyone he wants, even a regular Bas Yisrael, because the halacha is that the pasuk tells us in Devarim Chaf Gimel, Banim Asher Yivoldu Lehem Dor Shlishi Yavalem Bekal Hashem. Only third generation is allowed to just marry whoever they want. So you see that Minyamin was from this Mitzri nation, and they still had the din of a full Mitzri then, and they're not considered to be an entirely separate nation. Eli'i Itmar Hachi Itmar. No, if you want to answer Rav Chinna, you have to say as follows, that Am Rav Chinna Bar Papa, Enoch Rosh Baruch Hu Nifra Min HaMelech Ad Shas Shilucho, Shenemar B'Sasa B'Shalcha Trivena. It's not the nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits for its time, waits for that nation to be destroyed to punish them. No, it's when it's time for that king to be gone. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes them. But in Achinami, the nation remains the same. Amemer Masin Lahadra Rav Chinna Bar Papa Aha. And Amemer taught this idea of Rav Chinna Bar Papa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only pays back a nation when it's time to destroy them, based on the following pasuk. My Dechsev, what does the pasuk mean in Malachi when it says, Ki Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi Vatem Bnei Yaakov Lo Chilisam, that I, Hashem, have not changed, and you, the Bnei Yaakov, I have not wiped out. Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi Lo Hikesi Lu'uma V'Shanisi La. I've never had to smite a nation and then do it a second time. Because whenever I do it right the first time. They are totally wiped out the first time. Oh, but Vatem Bnei Yaakov. But when it comes to the Bnei Yaakov, when it comes to Klal Yisrael, even though we've been punished time and time again, Lo Chalisam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never punishes us to the point where we're totally wiped out. That's the miracle of the survival of the Jewish people. Hainu Dechsiv, Chitzai Achalebam. That's what the pasuk says, Chitzai Achalebam, that I run out of arrows on them. Chitzai Kalin, Vehein Enon Kalin. My arrows will run out before the Jewish people are wiped away, before the Jewish people are destroyed. The Jewish people will never be destroyed. So I guess the main point over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays back for every small action and in proper measure. And according to one version, he'll only punish another nation other than the Jewish people. He'll only punish a nation when it's time for them to be totally wiped off the face of the earth. Says the Gemara further now, Amar of Hamnuna, Eina HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifra Min HaAdam Ad SheTismale Sa'aso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only punishes an individual when he's already filled his full measure of Avera that deserves punishment. Shenamar B'Melos Sipko Yetzer Lo. That the Pasuk tells us that only when the Rasha finishes everything that, all of his taivos, everything that he wants to achieve with his taivos, only then is he gonna suffer. Darish Rav Chinna Bar Papa, Maidchsiv Ranu Tzadikim BaHashem LaYisharim Navasihila. What does the pasuk mean in Tehillim Lamed Gimel? So says the Gemara, Al Tikri Navasihila. Don't say Navasihila, that it's good to praise the Yisharim El Nevei Tihila, that it's because of the most special amongst us that we're praised. Zem Moshe V'David. That's a reference to Moshe and David, that their enemies never got to benefit from their accomplishments, because whatever they built was taken from the view of their enemies before their enemies got to lay hands on it. David dechsiv tavu ba'aretz sha'areha, that the gates went into the ground, and since they were swallowed in the ground, our enemies never got their hands on them. And Moshe, as far as the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu built, Damarmar Mishanivna Mikdash Rishon Nignaz Oel Moed. The Mishkan was never destroyed. It was Nignaz. It was hidden away. Krashav, Krasav, Uvricha, Va'amudav, Va'adanav. All the different parts of the Mishkan. So says Gemara, Hecha. Really? They're hidden away? Where are they hidden away? Amrav Chesam Ravimi Tachas Mechilos Shel Hechal. Underneath the tunnels that are beneath the Hechal. So main point number two is that the handiwork of David HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu the handiwork of David HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu never fell into the hands of their enemies. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss the punishments of a Sota. We have to remember, we're learning Masechta Sota over here. So Tan Rabbanan, Sota nosna ina b'misha ina ra'ila. The Sota had her eyes on someone who was not appropriate for her. Masha biksha lo nitan la. She didn't get what she desired, meaning she's not allowed to marry the man that she slept with. Umasha biyada, and the man that she already was married to, natlu mimena, was taken away from her. Shekala nosinena b'mashenu shalo, masha mevakeshe nosin lo, masha biyada natlu mimena. It's an important lesson that when a person tries to get an angle and have eyes on something that's not theirs, that's not rightfully theirs, so not only will they not achieve it, even that which they already have, they're going to lose. And Sota is not the only example of this. V'chein matzinu b'nachash hakadmoni. We find such a similar idea when it comes to the original Nachash in Gan Eden. Shenosan einav b'masha eino ra'ui lo. He had his eyes on Chava, which was not ra'ui for him. Masha bikesh l'nosan lo, so he did not get to marry Chava. U'masha biyado, and the fact that he had certain things beforehand, the ability to walk on 2 feet, nitalu mimenu, that was taken away from him. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani amarti yehi melech al kol behema v'chaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, I had big plans for you, Nachash. You're such a brilliant creature. I had a plan that you were going to be the melech over all animals and wild beasts. V'achshav, but now that you had your eyes on Chava, you're the cursed amongst all of the behemoths and chayos. I initially planned that you would walk with upright on 2 feet. Now you're not even like the other animals. You slither around on the ground. I initially planned that you'll be able to enjoy good food like people do. Now you're going to eat dirt. You thought that you can get rid of Adam and you'll marry Chava, you'll have this beautiful love affair with Chava. Who's more scared of a snake than a woman? Meaning, for all history, women have this terror of snakes. They want nothing to do with you. So that's the way that the Nachash was punished. So both from the Sota, and this is main point number three, both from the Sota and from the Nachash HaKadmoni, we learn that when a person desires something that is not rightfully theirs, not only will they not achieve it, they're going to lose out that which they already have. And says the Gemara, and we find it by other people as well. V'chein matzinu b'kayin. We find by Kayin that he had his eyes on the extra twin that was born with Hevel, and that which he wanted was not given to him because he did not get to marry her, and even that which he had, that he was an Ovid Adama, was taken from him because he was cursed to have to travel around. He wasn't able to be Ovid Adama, to work the land. And the Korach, we find the same thing by Korach, that he was interested in the Kohuna, which did not belong to him, and he lost out even that which he already had, that he was swallowed up in the ground together with the rest of his Chevra. U Bilam, and we find the same thing by Bilam, that he was interested in the money that Balak had, so he went to curse the Jewish people, so not only did he not get the money, the payment from Balak, but he lost out everything, and he died at a very young age when he went to Midian to try to get paid for his advice. And V'Doeg, we find the same thing by Doeg, who was Gadol Shebet Talmidim, and he had this jealousy of David when he realized that who David was going to become, and he lost out on everything. The Achitofel, and the same thing by Achitofel, he also had designs on the Melucha that didn't belong to him, and they end up losing out that they died early. The Gehazi, and we find the same thing by Gehazi, who is the Talmud of Elisha, and he decided that he wanted the money of Naaman, even though Elisha said, don't take anything from him, and he ends up losing everything. The Avshalom, and we find the same thing by Avshalom, that he was interested in the Malchus of David, and he ends up dying in war with the Avadim of David. Ve'Adoniyahu, and Adoniyahu, another son of David, who wanted Avishak Ashunamis, one of David's young wife, and he ended up getting killed by Benayo Ben Yoyada, with, you know, when Shlomo Melech sent Benayo to kill him. Ve'Uziyahu, and we find the same thing by Uziyahu, who was Melech Yehuda, that after he conquered his enemies in war, he decided he wanted Kuhuna, and he wanted to be Maktir Ktoris, like a Kohen, and ultimately he got Sara'as, until the day he died, and he lost the Malucha entirely. He even lost that which he already had. Haman wanted this unique position, and he ended up, we know what happened with Haman, he gets hanged on the 8th. All of these people had their eyes on that which was not appropriate for them. And that which they desired, they did not get. And that which they already had, they ended up losing out on. Let's just get to the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that the Sota started the Avera with her thighs, and that's why it's the first thing to suffer in the punishment. How can you say that you know for sure that the yerech is the part of the body that suffers first? What? Because the pasukim da midbar parakeh pasuk chav aleph mentions the yerech before the beten, but 6 pasukim later it mentions the beten before the yerech. So amar abaye ki layit layit tchila yerech vahadar beten layit umaya ki batki kir chayu batki beten bresha vahadar yerech. When the kohen curses her, he curses the yerech first and then the beten, but the mesota actually damages the beten and then the yerech, because that's the order that it goes down in the body when you drink it. So ask the Gemara, beklalin amik siv litzpos beten v'limpol yerech. But even in the klala itself, in one pasuk in pasuk of Beis, it mentions the beten before the yerech. Says Gemara, who demodel la kohen de beten bereisha v'ade yerech. Now that's the kohen telling her what's going to happen. So even though her yerech is cursed before her beten, the kohen is telling her, and by the way, your beten is going to suffer, is going to go through the ordeal before Yerach. And that has to be made very clear so that she shouldn't say, or no one should say, that the Mayim Amarim didn't really work, that it didn't work the way that he said it was going to work. You would think that, come on, I mean, is anyone really going to say that after suffering so terribly? But, you know, even if it's just a little bit off, it could be that people will question whether it was really divine, just like why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make it, that Makas Becharos was predicted exactly, and it couldn't even be 1 minute off, because people will claim that the punishment was not really a divine punishment, even if it's just a moment off. Okay, so we'll stop there at the Mishnah, and Bez Hashem, next time we'll pick up Daf Tesam Beis at the Mishnah.